I said. The other man was Quirrenbach, although he had changed his appearance since our last encounter, looking meaner, leaner, and a great deal less patient and bewildered. The gun in his hand was small and dainty enough to have been a gimmicky cigarette lighter. "How's the symphony coming on?"
"That was a very sneaky thing you did, Mirabel, leaving me like that. I suppose I should thank you for returning the money that you made on my experientials, but you'll excuse me if I don't overwhelm you with a flood of gratitude."
I shrugged. "I had a job to do. You didn't figure in it." "How's that job looking now?" Voronoff said, still sneering at me. "Time for a rethink, Mirabel?" "You tell me." Quirrenbach flashed a quick grin at me, like an aggressive ape.
"Tough talk from someone who didn't even know his gun wasn't loaded. Maybe you're not quite the professional hotshot we've been led to believe."
He reached over and helped himself to my tea, maintaining eye contact all the while.
"How did you know he wasn't Rivich, by the way?"
"Have a guess," Zebra said.
"I could kill you for betraying us," Quirrenbach said to her, "but right now I'm not sure I can master the enthusiasm."
"Why don't you start with Voronoff, dickhead?" He looked at Zebra, then at the man disguised as Rivich, as if weighing the idea seriously.
"That really wouldn't do, would it?"
Then his attention returned to me. "We caused quite a stir back there, Mirabel. It won't be long before what passes for authority here comes to take a look, and I really don't think any of us want to be around when that happens."
"So you're really not Canopy Security?"
"Sorry to shatter your illusions."
"Oh, don't worry about that," I said. "They were shattered quite some time ago."
Quirrenbach smiled and stood up, the tiny little gun nestling in his fist, as if with one spasm of his finger he might crush it to shreds. He danced a battle between Zebra and myself, holding his fake ID in the other hand like a talisman. Voronoff, meanwhile, produced a weapon of his own. Between them they had us comprehensively covered. We walked through the crowd, Quirrenbach daring anyone to pay us anything more than glancing interest. Neither Zebra or myself made any attempt to resist or escape. It would not have been worth it. Only three vehicles were parked on the landing ledge, cowled dark shapes glossy with rainwater, roof-mounted arms partially extended in readiness for flight, like three upturned dead spiders. One was the car in which Zebra and I had arrived. I recognized one of the other cars as well, but not the one to which Quirrenbach was leading us.
"Are you going to kill me now?" I asked. "Because if you are, you could save yourself a lot of trouble by throwing me over the edge here. There's no need to spice up my last moments with a ride through the canopy."
"I don't know how I've managed without your brilliant shards of wit, Mirabel," Quirrenbach said with a long-suffering sigh. "And incidentally, not that you care. The symphony happens to be coming along rather splendidly, thank you."
"That wasn't a cover.
Ask me about it in 100 years.
"If we're going to talk about people who hesitate to kill others," Voronoff said, "you might crop up in the discussion, Mirabel. You could have dropped me when we first met around Methuselah. I'm rather puzzled that you didn't at least try. And don't say there was a fish in the way. You may be many things, Mirabel, but sentimental isn't one of them."
He was right. I had hesitated, much as I preferred not to admit it to myself. In another life, at least on another world, I would have dropped Rivich or Voronoff almost before I had mentally acknowledged their presence. There would have been no ethical debates about the value of an immortal fish.
"Maybe I knew you weren't the right man," I said.